invite you, those who weren't in the Sunday school hour, we're talking about a young old man. Old by terms of the calendar, but young in terms of his strength. He was a virile, active, muscular, if you will, young man at 85 years of age. Let's go back to Joshua number 14, chapter 14, and we'll put in where we somewhat left off in the Sunday school hour with a very youthful 85-year-old Caleb going on with his testimony in verse 11. Well, I'll start in verse 10. And now behold, verse 10, the Lord hath kept me alive, as he said, these 45 years, even since the Lord spake this word unto Moses, while the children of Israel wandered in the wilderness. And now, lo, I am this day 85 years old. I might just mention here, as an echo from the Sunday school hour, how in the world did he keep young during 40 long years of circling, wandering in that desert area? Because that's where he was physically. But spiritually,
yeah,
and mentally, he was abiding in that promised country called Canaan.
Amen.
The land flowing with milk and honey.
Amen.
The land of promise. Oh my folk, that tells us, yes, we're somewhat wandering in a world that's going from bad to worse. But we can keep young, and we can keep in vigor and victory by dwelling not on things here. Yes, we have to reach the lost, we have to live here, but we're actually going to be living spiritually yonder.
Amen.
Yonder. That'll keep us on the victory side.
Amen.
That will make for the renewing of our strength, is what God wants for His blood-bought people.
Amen.
To be young, even if old chronologically.
Amen.
And so let's back up here and verse 10, yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me. As my strength was then, even so is my strength now. What a testimony. For war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, read it with me right out loud, dear congregation, come on. Give me, well, let's start in again. Let's see.
What verse?
Was that verse 11? 12. Together. Now, therefore, give me this mountain. All right. Whereof the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to dry them out, as the Lord said. That's the whole secret of it. He's counting on what the Lord said.
Right. Amen.
The divine word, the genuine heavenly promise. That's what we need to stand on, my beloved. As the Lord spake in that day, for thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, and he will be with us, as he was with Caleb, then I shall be able to drive them out, as, again it's a repeat, as the Lord said, the promise will, and the presence are what preserved him. And Joshua blessed him and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, what's the next word? Come on.
Hebron.
Or if you prefer Hebron, but let's just go ahead and make it Hebron. By the way, right here I think is a good point to underscore just what Hebron means. It means refreshing.
Amen.
Refreshing. Just think of it. Hebron for an inheritance. Oh my. And Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, the Kenizzite, unto this day. Now, notice, it's because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims. And the land had rest from war. I'm thinking of another companion, spiritually speaking, not calendar-wise, but of a man who, well, he was somewhere in the neighborhood of 100 or past. You remember who I'm speaking of? Abraham. He wasn't just 85. We'll put in at 100 more. And, ladies, fasten your safety belts. He was married, dare I say it, to a little old lady. But this is church. Leave us be honest. And neither one of them were in any particular natural way of life to produce children. Yet they both had been given a promise by the God of heaven himself. And I remember reading, and so do you, how God assured his friend Abraham that at this time of the clock, to put it, I will return and the child will be born. Well, why go I this way? The clock, a year, and he came back, and I picture your little old Sarah, somewhat bent over, shuffling along the bed. I don't know if she had a cane. I don't know if she had a cane, but she had pain probably at that period of life, physically, and shuffling along. Her once luxurious black tresses were all whitened. And her once, she was so beautiful that poor Abe had to fudge some about this beautiful woman. She's not my wife, she's my sister. The friend of God wasn't particularly on friendly terms when he was lying. By the way, I'm going to say this. We'll probably get to this this morning, if the Lord so wills it. The nephew of Abraham, you remember his name?
Yeah. Lot.
A lot of trouble. And there was a famine in the land of promise, and dear Abram fell for it in terms of failing to trust God even in such a crisis period. And he turned to Egypt. Egypt in Scripture is symbolic of what? The world. The world turning to human intervention, human provision, human help. And he went to Egypt and lied about his wife But in addition, he took his nephew with him. Uh-oh. Dear ones, when we give place to unbelief and we don't reflect obedience, some close to us are going to be observing and they're going to be hurt because our testimony broke down. And in the midst of that pinch and trouble, we yielded to unbelief. And we turned from God to the world, to Egypt, for help. Look out. Look out. We'll probably have reason to go back to this after a little bit in terms of what happened to Abraham. The friend of God happened to his nephew, Lot. He got infected with that little visit, that temporary lack of faith that venture into looking for the world to help. And while Abraham later, and his wife Sarah now to become Sarah, that visit to the world during a period of relapse on the part of God's friend, great man of faith, but he yielded to fear and ran to the world for help. And his nephew never got over it. Oh yes, he was spared the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. But as we'll see, maybe I ought to just tell you right now while it's on my heart. You remember that Lot, when the time came for separation because of trouble between the farmers, as you will, the herdsmen and of Abraham and his nephew, they both had increases and decrease of area for them to the cattle and the flock to feed. And Abraham gave his younger relative, his nephew, you just choose anywhere you want to take your flocks and decide that will be your area, and what's left I'll take after you make your choice. How many of you remember what happened? Lot turned to Egypt because his decision, we're told specifically, looked like what he had fallen in love with during that visit to Egypt. And he cast his lot on that basis and chose those wicked cities of the plain, Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, perhaps not immediately, but his decision was made in that direction, and that was the wrong direction, and he got sucked in to the Sodomite way of life.
Yeah.
I'm not saying that he became a Sodomite, but his children became poor, lost sinners. Somebody says, well, don't I remember in my study of Genesis that two daughters followed Daddy Lot out of Sodom and were spared? He got them out of Sodom, but he couldn't get Sodom out of them.
Yeah, right.
And those two daughters, infected with Sodomite way of thinking and living, committed terrible incest. And to this very day, we're reaping the torments and the troubles.
Yeah, that's right.
That were born as a result of Lot's choice. Just think of it. Tragic indeed. Now, we'll get back to that in another little bit. But something I want to point out to you. Do you have chapter 14 of Joshua before you still? Hopefully you do. I want you to see what we read here. Let's see. Joshua, verse 13. Blessed Caleb, and gave unto Caleb, the son of Jephunneh, what did he give him? Hebron for his inheritance. Hebron therefore became the inheritance of Caleb. This 85-year-old stalwart warrior, man of faith and victory. Caleb, the son of Jephunneh the Kenizzite, unto this day, because, here it is for the third time, because that he wholly followed the Lord God of Israel. And the name of Hebron before was Kirjath Arba, which Arba was a great man among the Anakims, and the land had rest from war. Now, we've seen what God was pleased to grant to this three times over underscored holy, obedient man of faith, 85-year young Caleb. Now, go with me back, if you will, please, to Genesis chapter, I believe I want chapter number 12. Let's go back to Genesis chapter number 12. I hear the rustling of leaves. That's always good. It means this is a Bible church.
In fact,
that's in your name, isn't it? Bible Baptist.
That's right.
Amen. How many of you found chapter 13? Chapter 13 of the book of Genesis. And you remember that in that time of having to separate from his nephew, we'll put in at verse 14, the Lord said unto Abram, Abram hadn't become Abraham yet, I better not leave this area without assuring you that God kept his promise. And I guess I was trying to depict a poor elderly wife of Abram, Sarah suddenly began to straighten up. And the wrinkles worked their way out. And the white hair turned back like a raven's wing, black and luxurious. And she became again someone that just, you couldn't quit looking at her for her charm and her beauty, her youthfulness. Somebody said, where do you get that? Come on. Yeah. Abraham went into another country, and he had to watch out because the king of that land suddenly was smitten when his eye fell on Abraham's wife. Please don't tell me that a king in a whole different country who as such would have had his pick among the loveliest of the land. But suddenly he spots this beautiful, youthful woman coming along with this man, Abraham. And folk, not only was she made young and prepared for delivery of the promised son, but even Abraham, who biologically had been unable to procreate, not only did the Lord empower him for the birth of the promised son and his dear wife, Sarah, but sometime later, some years later, when this precious Sarah, Abraham's wife, passed away, do you remember reading that old man Abraham, calendar-wise, he was an old man, but he remarried. And he had, as I recall, in that chapter, he had five children by his new wife. How do you explain that? God! Yeah. God made old Sarah a stunning beauty, and old Abraham a virile young man again. Isn't it wonderful what God can do? Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creation.
Amen.
Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become. Come on. New.
Amen.
Thank the Lord. Yeah. Well, I'm thinking of some geography, some biblical geography. And here in Joshua, we read that when, in fact, I had the audacity at 85 to sing a little song. Do I dare repeat it?
No, no, brother, no.
Amen.
It was Caleb who, when he stepped out of the ranks and his friend Joshua was there wondering what this is all about, well, it was Caleb's claiming his inheritance. The promise of 40 years plus perhaps before, you can have what you want in this country. And he wanted Hebron or Hebron. And it was thought of as elevated, a mountain. I don't think it was that tall a mountain, but the people who lived there were tall, gigantic. And the taller they are, what? They're falling down. That was his faith. And he was given Hebron. So the mountain was Hebron. The place of Caleb's inheritance was Hebron. Now, go with me back to Genesis chapter number 13. Genesis chapter number 13. And we're going to pick up on Abraham. Let's see. We'll put it in verse 14. Chapter 13, verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Folk, are you listening to me? One indispensable ingredient in wholly following the Lord, as did Caleb. Wholly following the Lord, as did characteristically Abram and Abraham, is to honor God with separation from the world under the Lord. Perhaps it's better put separation under the Lord from the world.
Right.
The world, listen, if you allow the world to fascinate you and charm you and suddenly get a hold of your heart and of your interest and your... forget victory. You're on the way to defeat. And that's why, as we pursue this a bit further, that's why when Lot cast his eye in the wrong direction toward what reminded him of the world, of Egypt, he would have said, "Oh, well, I'm just, don't you see how lush it is there? That'll be a place just right for my animals." And he made that choice because it looked like Egypt. And somebody says, well, he didn't get involved in Sodom. Yes, he did. When the angels approached the gate of Sodom to speak out in solemn warning, get out because this city is doomed to the judgment of God. Question, where did the angels find Lot when they approached that area to announce to Lot, get out of here and get out quick and for good? They found him sitting in the gate of the city. That's equivalent to occupying the mayor's chair in New York City.
Yeah.
He had so charmed his way into Sodom that they said, here's our man. Here's our new mayor. Just think of that. And what happened? Like I told you, those two daughters that listen, that kind of compromise with the world is costly. Very expensive.
Yeah, amen.
It cost him the city. God would have spared it for how many? 10. 10 righteous people, and God would have spared that whole area, if you will. How long Lot and his family, his wife so far, had been there, we're hard for us to necessarily say. He'd been there a while, enough to become an important figure in the city, sitting in the gate. Think of it. That kind of compromise with the world cost him not only his city, his presence. You know, we've been singing about bringing in the sheaves and going out at noontime and so forth, and that's wonderful emphasis. It's on soul winning. Not just door to door, but wherever you are, and God gives you an opportunity to spread the gospel and to give out the good news of the gospel. That's what these missionaries are going to be doing in their various assignments, in their various fields of missionary service. But he utterly compromised being able to be a soul winner. He lost his city. It was swept into hell by fiery judgment from heaven. The God who is long-suffering and patient, but the day comes when the deadline is crossed and that's it. He lost his city. Listen to me. He lost his children. I've already underscored for you. Yeah, the two daughters.
Yeah.
He got them out, but he couldn't get Sodom out of them.
Yeah.
And what's going on in the Middle East today, which represents great, grave danger worldwide,
right,
is still traceable to what happened when his two daughters played the sodomite, if you will, lifestyle with their own father.
Yeah. Right.
That's still reverberating in the Middle East as we are gathered here this morning.
Right.
He lost his city. He lost his children. Keep a finger here in Genesis 13. We'll come back to that in just a moment. But go with me to 2 Peter quickly, please. 2 Peter, if you will. 2 Peter. And I believe it's chapter 2 that we want. How many have 2 Peter? Chapter 2. Listen to this. We'll start at verse 4. If God spared not the angels that sinned, but cast them down to hell, and delivered them into chains of darkness to be reserved unto judgment, and spared not the old world, but saved Noah, the eighth person, a preacher of righteousness, bringing in the flood upon the world of the ungodly. Now we're coming to what we want to emphasize here. And turning the cities of Sodom and Gomorrah into ashes, condemned them with an overthrow, making them an ensample unto those that after should live ungodly. Now notice verses 7 and 8. And God delivered, what are the next two words? Just Lot. He was a backslidden and worldly believer.
Right.
I take this to identify without controversy, that with all of his backsliding and worldliness, he was still in the camp with the saved. That righteous man, dwelling among them in seeing and hearing, what's the next word? Vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Listen, that kind of worldly-minded, backslidden lifestyle represented by Lot. Not only did he lose his city, not only did he lose his children, he lost his conscience. He knew all the time when he was there, apparently making strides, you know, gaining momentum in his impact on the city and his position of prominence in Lot, in Sodom. But all the while seemingly succeeding and making strides in the world, his own conscience was pricking and pestering him day and night. That righteous man dwelling among them in seeing and hearing vexed his righteous soul from day to day with their unlawful deeds. Verse 9 concludes, the Lord knoweth how to deliver the godly out of temptations and to reserve the unjust unto the judgment to be punished. How tragic. How tragic is the worldly, backslidden, I was going to say Christian life. Christians saved, but losing out because of compromise and worldliness.
Right.
He lost not only his city, his children, and his conscience, he lost his companion. Say it with me. Remember Lot's wife. So again, remember Lot's wife. Somebody says, well, didn't he have her by the hand, along with the two girls? Weren't they on their way to the place of protection? Well, yes. When suddenly she, Lot's wife, in deliberate disobedience to the command, don't turn around to look, flee to the place of safety. And we know what that means, flee to the mount called Calvary.
Yeah. Amen.
And fix your eyes on the crucified, risen, seated in power and authority and glory at the right hand of the Father. Fix your eyes on Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will go strangely dim in the light of His glory and grace. It's when we allow our spiritual eyes to wander. And that's what happened in the case of the nephew of the friend of God, Abraham. Oh, beloved. She turned because she'd never really left. Her heart was there in Sodom.
Yeah.
And like a magnet, it pulled her around, and judgment fell upon her. God knows about the eternal result. But what a terrible, terrible thing for the backslidden and worldly husband of Mrs. Lot. Think of it.
Yeah.
Now, let's go back. Somebody says, poor Abraham. Really the only family member that he could still have some measure of good, warm-hearted fellowship with. And they've had to separate. And Lot's gone the wrong direction, but poor Abraham, just think now, he's without some family ties. Don't feel sorry for Abraham when he is obedient to the will and word of God. Now, back to Genesis chapter number 13. Go right back to Genesis chapter 13. We'll put in at verse 14. And the Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. Oh, there's separation. Mm-hmm. Don't feel sorry for Abraham when he's allowing God to make decisions and direct and lead in his life.
Yeah.
Here we read, Lord said unto Abram, after that Lot was separated from him, lift up now thine eyes and look from the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, westward. For all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for a while.
Forever.
Folk, this business that the only answer to the tensions in the Middle East between Israel and her neighboring hateful communities, the Arabic communities, is to create two states. Chop up the land. It's already been chopped up plenty.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And the answer isn't chopping up the land, because God several times has committed himself to a geographical Israel that's going to be, I don't know how many times larger than the little strip about like New Jersey, perhaps, along the Mediterranean. No. God has given his people, Israel, a land that is promised and that is extensive.
Amen.
Now, Look north, south, east, and west, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed for a while. Come on.
Forever.
Forever. We live in a day when gospel preaching churches, listen to me, I don't doubt that they don't preach the gospel, but they're just way off base in what is called replacement theology. Say that term with me. Replacement theology. What is replacement theology? Just a word, quickly. God, according to their wrong thinking, God has placed Israel under judgment permanently. And the land is no longer theirs, and the promise has been rescinded, and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the New Testament church, has replaced, that's where the term, replacement theology. The church has replaced Israel. No, a thousand times.
Right. Yes,
all you have to do is read the first two or three verses of Romans chapter 11, where the apostle raises the question, has God abandoned Israel? Forbid! God forbid!
Right. Amen.
Now, let's go on reading. We'll put in at verse 15, for all the land which thou seest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed, not just for a while, forever. And I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth, so that if a man can number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Arise, walk through the land, in the length of it, in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And Abram removed his tent, and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in where?
Hebron.
The place of fellowship with God.
Yeah.
The place that two old men who walked with God and who were blessed of God chose to be theirs. Caleb, 85 years young, he wanted Hebron. Some said, well, a mountain. Well, Hebron was elevated. And God gave him the desire of his heart, Hebron.
Yep.
And years earlier, God gave the father of the faithful of Israel, Abram, later Abraham, the same place. Question. 85-year-old Caleb, soon to be 100-year-old Abraham, who's going to follow through with full obedience even to laying his son on the altar of sacrifice. God raised him up, of course. The knife high, flashing in the sun, the wind catching old Abraham's locks, and suddenly the life falls, but not on the heart of his beloved son, on the arm of Almighty God. And God says, I see you're willing to go all the way with me. And God blessed him. But even before that, he had been building altars in his walk with God. And this one, verse 18, then Abram removed his tent and came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is in where?
Hebron.
Same place that Caleb chose. Hebron! Question, have you chosen Hebron? That place lifted up, elevated, if you want, the mount of fellowship with God. Yes, it cost Abram separation from his worldly nephew. But don't feel sorry for Abraham when he did what was right. Turned the decision over to God. And God gave him Hebron. And the word Hebron means fellowship. Fellowship. Question. Would you like to enjoy the favor of a God who's pleased with your separated living? A life of obedience to the Lord, unquestioned obedience, separated to Him from the world. If you would only, with all your heart, turn your back on worldliness and turn your eyes, fix them, your heart upon the Lord Jesus, like He did with Caleb, like He did with Abram, later Abraham, God will bring you into a place of fellowship that is unspeakably rich and blessed.